I invite you to stand with me this morning and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. And while you're turning there, I just want to say I'd hate to be on the outside looking on the inside on a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's some things I'm glad I'm not a part of, but when it comes to a move of God, I want to be in the middle of what God is doing. And I just want to say this as kindly as I can. Quit trying to find out what's wrong with what's going on. Don't be so quick to criticize what's going on until you step in the water and see what it's all about. You know, Pilate looked at Jesus and said, I find no fault in him. Pilate was looking at Jesus with such a critical eye, and all he was trying to do is find fault with a faultless Messiah. He couldn't even see who was sitting there in his presence. I promise you, if you come to this house trying to find fault, hey, you'll find it. You can start right here with me. You'll find fault. But oh, I'm telling you what, I didn't come to find fault today. I come to find out what is God doing? What is this I feel? Amen. What's drawing these people? Amen. What is it that's delivering hearts and changing lives that's here today? And I'm going to tell you what, if you've been missing out on these revival services, you've just been missing out. And God has been moving and talking and blessing. And amen. I don't know about you, but we should all feel a little bit closer to him today. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. And I know when I read this text today that it always gets a little heavy when you say Revelations. Revelations 20 and 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. I'm going to stop right there and just say this. There's a religious world out there that tells you works don't matter. I'm telling you what, if you're going to be judged according to your works, I believe works do matter. It's not all works. Amen. There's a faith side to this. But faith without works is dead. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. I wrestled today with two messages. But when your good pastor obeyed the Holy Ghost and really began to push this congregation, he really helped me know what to do today. And this may be a little different. And my delivery may even be somewhat a little more low-key today, but I want us to hear the word of the Lord. And I want to preach to you for just a few moments this morning from this question. What do you have to do to go to hell? What do you have to do to go to hell? Amen. Let's pray one more time that the Holy Ghost would give us understanding and anointing today. Would you pray? Thank you, mighty God. Praise the name of the Lord. God, we give you praise. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. The Bible makes it very clear that every person that is born a sinner. Amen. David understood, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Amen. There is a world out there that says, "I can't help it. I was born this way." Well, amen. We understand that we are born sinners. Paul proclaimed, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Amen. He said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There are no perfect people in this house today. Don't let the suit and tie fool you. Don't let the nice outfit fool you. There are no perfect people here today. Amen. But thank God we're a whole lot better than we used to be. And due to this universal curse upon all of mankind, there's also a universal call for all to be saved. And I suppose today that most people who've ever thought about God and eternity and religion have considered the topic of salvation, and there are many conclusions that have been reached. But almost all would agree that the subject of salvation is a very, very serious subject. And if you can't agree with me right there, then I can't help you any beyond that point right there. Amen. Somewhere in your life, you've got to say, "God, I want to be saved." It doesn't really matter what my parents believed. It doesn't matter what my grandparents believed. It doesn't matter what my friends and neighbors believe. I want to be saved. There are people that have said, "Well, I see what you're saying, and I believe that it's right. But if I accept that, then that means that my mom and dad were lost." I'm going to tell you what. They're going to be where they're at whether you believe what you believe or not. You can't change that. All you can do is save yourself. And so I'm trying to save myself. And bless God, if somebody can tell me that my parents were wrong, I'm not going to hell over them. I want to be right. I want to be saved. Come on, somebody. I want to be saved. I've got to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so the Pharisee Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. "Amen, Rabbi, tell us, what do we have to do to be saved?" Men on the day of Pentecost asked the question, "What must we do to be saved?" Millions have asked the same question. What must we do to be saved? We should all ask that question. What must I do to be saved? I make no apologies for the simplicity of what I bring to you today. For even, amen, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, amen, he referred to the message of salvation as being a simple message. So simple, he feared corruption by another means. He boiled it down to phrases like this: "There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism." And I know there's others that might disagree, but the Word of God still says one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's only one Lord. I want to know, what's the name of that one Lord? There's only one faith. I've got to be a part of that one faith. There's only one baptism. I want to be baptized with that one saving form of baptism. What I'm saying is, if there's only one way into heaven's gates, I've got to know what is that one way, because I have to be saved. When I was junior, senior in high school, there was a group of young men gathered together, and the subject of religion and salvation came up, and these were all non-Pentecostal young men. And for the first time, I had heard the theory, this one young man was actually a doctor's son. He said, "You know, I believe I can go to this church and be this religion, and we can do things our way, and we'll just go this way. And I believe He called the other young man, you can be this and you be that religion and you go that way. And so we've got a Baptist road, we've got a Catholic road, a Presbyterian road, we got a Pentecostal road, and they're all going and they're serving God their way, and they're not alike. They all have different doctrines and different theologies. And he said, but you know, you just walk that road and I'll walk that road and they can walk that road, he said. But at the end, they all wind up in the same destination. I'm telling you, that's not what Paul said. There's only one Lord, only one faith, only one baptism. That means somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And bless God, I swallowed my pride and I declared I want to know who's right and who's wrong. And I want you to know my spirit. It's not proudful and arrogant today. Anything I say, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I promise you today. But if you cannot sit there and make that declaration with me today, then I can't help you, friend. If you can honestly say, I want to be saved. I don't know, what does that black book say, amen? I want to know how to be saved and please God. If pleasing, amen, your social circle means more to you, then you cannot be saved. If pleasing your parents' religion means more to you, then you cannot be saved. But somewhere, like the prodigal son, you have to come to yourself and say, God, show me, I must be saved. I'm telling you, I love this book. I love this book. No, you don't understand. I love this book. I laid in my bed last night. I held my Bible. I said, God, this is the most tangible thing I have that represents you, God. I could physically hold you, but God, all I've got is this old black book. I'm telling you, I love this word of God. I pray, God, let me see what the word says. I'm going to tell you, oh God, help me today. We've got a religious circle that's got people so dumbed down. They don't read their Bible. They don't care what it says. All they do is they punch a time clock and say, I went to my church. I heard a good little sermon. And now I'm going to go live my life. That's not the kind of people that God called us to be. You got to know the word, read the word, and digest the word, and see it for yourself.
And I know we've been called dogmatic because of our message. People have accused us of preaching, well, you got to be just like us to be saved. That's not what I've said. I will say you've got to be exactly what this Bible says to be saved. And you can't believe it without obeying it. Between believing and the fulfillment, there's got to be some obedience in there. That's where faith and works come together. You can't just say, I believe that. You've got to obey it. Just believing that you're hungry won't feed your belly. But because you're hungry, you go and you get some food. And that's the works. Faith and works come together. I believe I'm wrong. And so work says, I must repent. I believe I'm a sinner. And work says, you must be baptized. I believe I'm lost. And work says, I need the Holy Ghost.
And so we've mentioned a few who sought the Lord for answers to this very, very serious subject of salvation. So Nicodemus came to the Lord, and this was the Lord's response. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to tell you something else about the word. You better be careful what translation you read. Because even last night, I read across a translation that it was changed so much that it totally changed the context of this verse. You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to stop right there and tell somebody there's some things you will never ever see, understand, or comprehend until you're born again. So I don't understand why they act like that. Get the Holy Ghost, you'll understand. I don't understand why they worship and holler and dance and run the aisles like that. Honey, when you get the Holy Ghost, you'll understand. Amen. When you get your sins washed away, you'll understand then. But until you're born again, there's some things you just won't see. So Nicodemus not understanding, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, this is how you're born again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter to the kingdom of God. Now, folks, I believe that's about as plain as you get. If you're not born again of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's as plain as you can get, friend. Amen. We must be born of the water and the Spirit. Now, where the water can get a little cloudy for some people is, what did he mean by this? Well, we look at the day of Pentecost, where Peter further explained the message to Nicodemus. After the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God had been poured out upon believers. At the close of a convicting message, a group of men asked the same question that Nicodemus asked. Amen. Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And Peter, he took that same message of being born again of the water and the Spirit. And Peter, with the keys to the kingdom, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how you're born again, of the water and the Spirit. So the concept of repenting was not foreign to them. That's all John the Baptist had preached, was repent, 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 repent. And so when Peter, amen, when he spoke that, amen, that was not some new theology, not some new doctrine. Amen, you've got to turn from your sin. Change your mind. You've got to change your life. All the things you were doing that God was displeased with. You've got to say, God, I'm willing to let that go in order to gain the favor of God in my life. If you can't let that go, that's become your God. So you've got to repent. John the Baptist preached repent. Jesus preached repentance. The disciples preached repentance. Amen. Thank God for an altar of repentance. Amen. That's where the will of man dies out to the will of God. Just like the Old Testament sacrificial, amen, sacrifice that came. There was some bloodshed. There was a death. There was some crying and agony. That's what we do when I come to God. God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. My life's full of mistakes and faults and failures. I was born a sinner, God. Now I want to turn my life around. And the word baptize is baptizo, which means to immerse or to submerge, to make overwhelmed, to wash. How many of you good mothers, when your little baby boy, baby girl came in dirty from head to toe, took a little wipey and just kind of dab a little here and dab a little there. We have a tradition in our family that when the child turned one, you give them their own birthday cake and turn them loose. And that's a tradition that's over in my family. Amen. By faith. Hallelujah. Four times is enough. Amen. Amen. But when you take pictures, because the chocolate cake ends up here, to, you know, wherever it can get, amen. And so you don't take that child and you don't just splash some water on their face and say, there, you're washed, now you're clean. No, no, no. You don't just take a little rag and just wipe a little here and wipe a little there and say, there, you're clean. No, no, no. You take them and you strip the clothes off and you get them in that bathtub and you wash them from head to toe. Amen. The Bible said we're buried with him in baptism. You don't bury somebody just halfway. You don't sprinkle dirt. You know, you bury a dead man from head to toe and don't leave one part uncovered. That's why he said when you're baptized, you got to go all the way down in the saving name of Jesus Christ. You're not sprinkled. You're not splashed. You got to go all the way down. Amen. I rebuke this modern day doctrine that says baptism is not necessary. Yes, it is necessary. It's the only way to have all your sins washed away. That's where the blood's applied, when you're baptized. Oh, I know I'm fighting false doctrine today. You hear this preacher? The blood is not applied at the altar. I love Acts 2:38 preaching. Amen. You read the Old Testament Bible. When that blood was shed, there was something that you had to take that blood somewhere and apply that blood somewhere. Amen. The blood does not wash away your sins at the altar. They're washed in the baptism waters. That's where the name's applied. And the blood removes the curse of fallen man. And I know we're living in an hour where, well, you know, you don't have to be baptized. It's, you know, if you want to, you can. It's kind of, you know, to help you and for church identification purposes. And even if they do, when they do baptize you, amen, they baptize the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. But you don't, even common sense says that don't even make sense. That's where the blood's applied. The blood of who? Why would it make sense to be baptized calling on the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? The prophet Zechariah said, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. He don't have two or three names. He only has one name. And so Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that's why Peter understood the Father is Jesus, the Son is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus. And that's why he said, and be baptized in the name, not names, but in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no power in titles. There's power in the name. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. That's why everywhere in the book of Acts, when people were baptized, they were baptized calling on the name of the Lord. Baptized in Jesus' name. Speak the name. There's power in the name. Authority in the name. That's why when we close our prayer, we say in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. That's why when we lay hands on the sick, we pray and we say in the name of Jesus Christ. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name they'll stomp on devils. In my name drink a deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. In my name take up serpents. In my name, there's power in the name. There's authority in the name. Again, you can get in a lot of trouble if you try to pick apart everything I'm saying today. Where can I find where he's wrong? If you'll find out where I'm wrong, I'm just repeating what the Bible said. You got to look at it and say, you know what? That does make sense. Let me look at this Bible again. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've repented. We've been baptized in His name. We receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Evidence of speaking in unknown tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Now, I know the denominational world thinks we're crazy. I know the world says that's not required. In fact, I have a newspaper clipping here from years ago from a Church of Christ preacher about tongues and how they've ceased and how they fulfilled their purpose and that there is no more speaking in tongues. That it ceased on the day of Pentecost. Why would God do that? Why would you try to make God the author of confusion when He's not? Why would God give that on the initial outpouring as a sign and then take that away from us? This thing's so serious to me that I don't want to just accept Christ. I want to know Christ has accepted me with some kind of a sign that's undeniable, that you cannot debate, that you cannot deny me of. And I understand that what I have is surely from God. It's not man-made. I'm not blinded by false religion. What I have is the real thing. And I know there's a place in the Bible where Paul said, "And tongues shall cease." But you know what? When we get to heaven, there's a lot of things going to change. There's no need to speak in tongues. Amen. In heaven. But if tongues ceased on the day of Pentecost, then why did the Apostle Paul tell the church at Corinth, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God"? Why did he say, "I would that ye all spake with tongues"? If tongues had ceased, the Apostle Paul missed it. But the word tongues there means of uncertain affinity. It's a language that is not naturally acquired. It is a sign I've completely yielded myself to God. For the Bible says that the power of death and life is in the tongue. James said that your tongue is the most unruly part of your body. And so God understood that if I can control your tongue, I know I've got control of all of you. If you can yield your tongue, you've yielded your mind, your heart, and your will. I'm telling you, honey, God's a whole lot smarter than we are. And God's got this thing figured out just right. Amen. You say, "Well, if I was God, we'll stop right there." We're not. Amen. But He is. I didn't choose the plan. I choose to obey the plan. Repent and be water baptized and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and live a holy, clean life. If someone told you differently, I would tell you that they are speaking contrary to the Word of God. But I would tell you that there's a blessed promised land for those who've obeyed the Word of God. And just as sure as there's a place for the obedient, our text today tells us there's a place for the disobedient. It's been given a wicked name called hell. Defined as a grave, a pit, the world of the dead, a place of everlasting punishment for the lost, a place of torment for the wicked, a place of torture for the sinner. And the Bible tells us that in hell there will be weeping, there will be wailing, there'll be gnashing of teeth. And those we can somewhat comprehend, but the thing that we cannot comprehend is an absolute void of the presence of God. Do you realize today, friend, that if God took every ounce of his presence off the earth, we would lose our sanity? We have no idea. We can't comprehend what it's like to not have even the slightest presence of God in our lives. And even though the heat of this consuming flame is beyond our comprehension, the worm will not die, and neither will the souls of men and women. And there is no getting out of hell. I know there is a lie that says, well, those that go there will burn up. Amen. That's not what the Word of God teaches. You'll become the prisoner of hell, and you will never get out. And hell will be filled with the agonizing screams of the alcoholic and the drug addict, the fornicator, the sexually impure, the murderer, the liar, the thief. Hell will be full of those whose hearts are full of pride and hate and envy and strife and malice and bitterness. And since the only way to make it into heaven's gates is to be born again, there's another class of people that will fall from heaven's judgment court into the flames of hell. And that is those that never were born again. Peter said, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Paul answered in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a great eternal curse laid upon those who do not obey the gospel message. And so I've asked the question today, what do you have to do to go to hell? The answer, I'm sure, is clear to all of us today. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Hell is not just a place for the bad. It's the only other option for those that refuse to obey the Word of God. You don't have to be an alcoholic to go to hell. You don't have to be a whoremonger to go to hell. You don't have to be a thief to go to hell. And I know the world's full of this line. Well, I'm a good person. I think I don't rob and I don't cheat and I don't steal. Well, that's all fine and good. But it takes a whole lot more to going to heaven than just being a good person. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. I said you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. And thank God for a church that still proclaims there's only one Lord, only one faith, and one baptism. Thank God for a man of God that still declares in this last hour, come out and be ye separate and be born again of the water and the Spirit. You know what really scares me the most? Many, many years ago, I was preaching revival in Cloverdale, Indiana. I forgot all about this. I found a little note today. I believe it was on a Sunday morning. Maybe it had been a Saturday night. There was a family next to the church that died. In other words, it struck me so deeply. They were living next door to the house of refuge. So close, yet so far away. I'm going to leave this house today, I hope, with no blood on my hands. I hope I'm going to leave this house today and say, God, I told every ear that would listen today, God, what this book says about salvation. I'd hate to be in somebody's shoes. It's got to deny the faith on this side, but try to accept it on the other side when they find out that preacher was right.
That preacher was right. What he said was right. It's right there in black and white, but yet I was so bound by preconceived ideas, and I've thought this way all of my life. Let me tell you what. There's a lot of people that think a lot of things all their life. There's kids today that all they know is lying and cheating and stealing. That's all they know. That don't mean they're right. If you think praying a sinner's prayer is all it takes to be saved, that's all you've thought all your life, that don't mean you're right. You can show me in the Word of God where Jesus said that's all it takes, then I'll be happy to listen. If you can take this Bible and show me where all it takes is just accepting Christ as your Savior, then I'll hear you. There's a whole lot more to it than that, friend. I believe if I stand in the highway, I'll get run over. And so I get out of the highway. That sweet old lady that you knew as a child, never cussed, never smoked, never drank, always helped the needy, the epitome of a sweet, kind lady. I'm telling you what this book says. If she's not born again, she cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't care what she believes. I don't care what she accepts. I don't care what she says. I don't care how good she is. If she's not born again of the water and the Spirit, she's not going to enter the kingdom of God. That's heavy today because there is a world full of tall steeples and big buildings. And all they're trying to tell you is just come on, accept Christ as your Savior. Come on. Just come on in and be a part of the church.
Let me ask you a question. That same church, when's the last time you heard that man get up and preach against sin? This denominational world that preaches this easy believism, when's the last time they preached against sin? Come on now. When's the last time the preacher preached against fornication in a church or youth group? But yet we've got a modern day Christian age that gets married every day and none of them are virgins anymore. Because sin's not preached against. Because the only way to preach against sin is to preach repentance. Brother, you don't hear repentance preached a whole lot anymore at all. I know we might as well go ahead and just put the last nail in the coffin. I know he was a hero to so many. I know he spent his life for Christian good. Billy Graham just passed from this life to the next. I wonder, was he born again? Oh, that's blasphemy, is it? Is it really? It's a man just like me. A man just like Nicodemus. A man just like those the day of Pentecost. I just can't fathom. I can't fathom that you'd say Billy Graham. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. If Billy Graham wasn't born again of the water and the Spirit, Billy Graham's not going to heaven. I don't care what he spent his life doing. If Mother Teresa wasn't born again of the water and the Spirit, if the Pope's not born again of the water and the Spirit, I don't care what we label them as. What does God say? And how does God feel? What does that black book say? I'm telling you, this black book's not changing, friend, for me or you or nobody else. You got to be born again. Let's stand and lift our hands to the Lord. Come on, let's stand and lift our hands to Jesus today. Let's stand and lift our hands to Jesus today. I need some good saints to help me pray. This is why your pastor pushed this service forward today, because of right here, right now. This is why your pastor was pushing, because of this moment right here. Come on, come on, in Jesus' name. I'm not trying to offend anybody today. I'm not trying to be unkind today. I didn't come to tell you that when you're headed to hell, I'm trying to tell you there's a way out of hell. Repent, and be water baptized in the saving name of Jesus Christ. And you get a promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is a way out. Come on, come on, come on. In the name of Jesus.
These altars are open, friend. You ought to come pray. Come on, whether you agree or not, you ought to come pray. I want more of you in my life, Jesus. I want your favor. I want your glory. I want your faithful touch in my life.
I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I need a cleansing from the fountain. My soul is thirsty. I've got this aching within. I want to be washed.
Come on, that's it. You've heard the word today. You've got to respond to it. You're accountable to what you've heard today. Please don't reject it. Think about it. Dive into the word and see if I'm wrong. Let's be sensitive, church. Come on, that's it. Come on, men. Come on, ladies. God, I need truth to set me free from man-made religions and vain philosophies. Set me free, Jesus.
I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, yes, God.
I need a cleansing from the fountain.
Hallelujah. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Somebody tell him, I repent. I repent.
I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, hallelujah. Jesus.
I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I need a cleansing from the fountain. My soul is hungry. I've got this.
That's it. Go ahead. Go ahead. There's people seeking for the Holy Ghost, church. Come on. Come on. Somebody break beyond this wall, this barrier today. Let it flow through you. Let it flow through you. Come on. In the name of Jesus.
From the fountain.
Oh, hallelujah.
My soul is hungry.
Yes, Jesus.
I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I need a cleansing from fountain. My soul is hungry. I've got this aching within. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Come on, there ought to be some saints. Thank God for truth today. Thank God the scales were removed from your eyes. Hallelujah. Thank God he brought you out. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus.
My soul is hungry. I've got this aching within. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I need a cleansing from the fountain. My soul is hungry. I've got this aching within. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah, that's it. Come on, hallelujah.
I want to be washed.
God will help you with every addiction.
I need a cleansing from the fountain. My soul is hungry. I've got this aching within. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I need.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church. Come on. I know I'm pushing you for just a little bit longer. There's people seeking deliverance today. There's people bound by addictions that need deliverance today. That's it. Come on, ladies. Help us. Help us, ladies. Come on, young men. There's people seeking the face of God. Oh, yes, 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 yes. In the name of Jesus, set the captive free. Lay it down, sir. Lay it down, ma'am. I repent. I repent. I want to be born again.
Oh, I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. mountain. My soul is hungry. I've got this aching within. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I need a cleansing from the fountain. My soul is hungry. I've got this aching within. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I need a cleansing from the fountain. My soul is hungry. I've got this aching within. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Wanna be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Need a cleansing from the fountain. My soul is hungry, I've got this aching within. I wanna be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I wanna be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Cleansing from the fountain. My soul is hungry. I've got this aching within. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, Jesus.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Need a cleansing from the fountain. Soul is hungry, I've got this aching within. I wanna be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Wanna be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I need a cleansing from the fountain. My soul is hungry, I've got this aching within. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Come on, one more time. Let's all lift our voices together. Come on, everybody. Everybody, hallelujah. Everybody, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody ought to thank God for truth. Come on, I know you're praying. I know you're praying. I want to tell you something. I really feel like saying this. There's something wrong when we lose a generation to not just the world, but to false doctrine. It's happening over and over and over again. I'm going to tell you what, we gotta preach this message so deep in this generation that God forbid they ever walk out them doors. But if they do, they know where to come back to. And they don't raise their family in some false doctrine church that don't save anybody. We're going to pray one more time, and I want you to pray for yourself. I want this younger generation to pray for yourselves. I want you to say, God, so I want you to stamp this message so deep and clear on my heart, God. I want this to become so real, such a part of me, God, that I'll never walk away from this truth, God. It's all I believe the rest of my life. Come on, won't you pray that right now? God, put this so deep in my spirit, God. Come on, let it be so clear to me, God. Come on. Come on, young ladies. Hell will try to rob you of this revelation. But let God put it so deep in your spirit. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one. 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 Yes. Hear it every day. The Lord our God is one. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of our lives.